Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Marang. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Marang.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, two down, one to go here. The firm of Harris and Marang. After us, you'll get Ducks Insider with Joey Mack from 1 to 2. Happy Hour, Fan Happy Hour with Jordan Schultz again, filling in for Luke Anderson from 2 to 3, and then it's primetime, 3 to 7. Take you all the way home, finishing up 13 hours of continuous live, local, and regional sports talk radio. There's going to be baseball on our sister station 910 all day, so if you want some baseball, you can go over there, hang out with us. Multitask. I'm going to be watching baseball all day. Did you know that today starts 49 consecutive days of a college or NFL game on television?
This is the best month in sports.
This is it, dude. Starts today.
I always say this because it usually starts about a week before my birthday. And that is the time of, like, from here for the next month, you have uninterrupted sports.
Now.
Endlessly.
Now. Missouri State at Middle Tennessee does not get my juices flowing.
No, but you know what you have? You have
Liberty at UTEP.
Not only that, you have college football on a Wednesday night.
That is true.
How dope is that?
From Johnny Red Floyd Stadium in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
I did hear the boys this morning. They picked up what we were dropping on Monday.
About what?
That Friday night game. That North Texas USF game.
Dude, North Texas, man.
Like, that's...
As a Wazoo fan who lost by 50... we are pro North Texas. We are pro North Texas.
But, like,
I think North Texas should be the Group of Five team in the playoff.
But I'm like,
that's what I think right
that's
now.
That's a spicy little Friday night matchup.
Hell
I'm like,
yeah, brother.
Hell yeah! And then Saturday, I will be locked.
And then I hope if the Huskies lose after that, that's great too, man. I'm gonna watch some future Pac-12 after dark. Yeah. Fresno State, Colorado State. Let's go.
Saturday afternoon, baby. I got a lot of Michigan friends in my life, and I told them all. I hate you all with a fiery passion of a thousand suns.
I don't even know if I can hate watch that game.
You don't.
It'll get a box.
Come on, it's USC Michigan.
I have broken down, and I do the four box.
Telling you, man. Because what you do is you.
Well, I figured out how to design it myself.
There you go. And then you put the volume on the one that you want to watch, and then when you see something going on the other one, you go, "Oh, let's click it on this for a little."
Yeah.
While.
What time's your game? Are you the night game?
4:30.
4:30, so let's see.
4:30 on NBC.
My box is going to be Georgia-Auburn, Michigan-USC, probably
South Carolina,
South Carolina-LSU.
And you probably talk me into A&M, Florida-USC, Michigan.
A&M?
Yeah, A&M's playing Florida at 4.
Why don't I see them? Oh, there they are. A&M, Florida. That will probably be.
Yeah, that'll be. And then look, that's a hell of a night.
Although I'm a little intrigued by Kansas, Texas Tech.
Yeah, no, that's certainly going to be one that I
want to see more Tech.
If one of these games gets sideways, throw Tech in there.
Yeah. You know what I'm not going to watch? Iowa, Wisconsin.
Oh, that's yeah.
That's like you just lost a bet, and that's the game you have to break down on Monday.
There are worse games.
Yeah, but that one would be rough.
Like, if you're talking on the slate on Saturday, the
what's the Punisher game?
UCLA, Michigan State, very high up that list.
Can I interest you in a little Utah State, Hawaii at 9 o'clock?
Akron, Miami. of Ohio.
Yeah, but I see, I think once you get down to those smaller teams like that, there's actually a lot you could learn because both those teams kind of suck. I think in the punishment game, if we stick to our, for those of you that don't know, Danny and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that you should make a bet and the loser of the bet has to
write a book report
on a game during your game.
Yes.
So your game is 4:30. At 4:30.
So basically anything from 4 on. So San Jose State, Wyoming.
Ooh, that's a rough one.
UL Monroe, Coastal Carolina would probably be like, people would go that way. Those are two fire-ass jerseys.
Yeah.
Like that, dude. Chanticleers, I'm in.
Dude, at 4:30, the book report you have to write, if I win the bet and get to choose, the book report you have to write is Purdue at Minnesota.
Purdue, Minnesota.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. The best part for me this weekend is the book report I have to write is Washington State at Ole Miss. That's the game I have to write.
You
about.
Have to sit there and watch Ole Miss hang 50.
I'm going to watch that game, and I'll tell you what, my boys, at 9:45, we're going to do it. We're going to cover the spread.
Chambliss is going to put up 500 total yards of offense.
No way, dude. We're covering the spread, man.
No.
If you are an Oregon fan
Miami Akron is what I would make you watch.
If you're an Oregon fan out there, the slate's not so bad. So if I'm forcing you.
Oh, yeah, no. It's UMass Kent State.
Oh, Kent State, man.
They're a combined 1-9.
Yep, that'll do it.
That football is going to, like, it's not going to suck in a fun way. Like, Northern Illinois and Eastern Michigan is going to suck in a fun way.
I don't know, man. Can I tempt you in a little Nebraska at Maryland?
Oh, you've got Riola. That's fine.
Northwestern at Penn State.
I can laugh at Duraller.
Does Oregon beat Penn State 3 weeks in a row?
Yeah. No, I mean, because people want to go to, like, the academies, and I'm like, no.
No, academy football is rad. Academy football is fun.
ODU Marshall. ODU's fun. Ball State, Western Michigan. That's Maction.
App State riding a win streak here.
Yeah.
Against Georgia State.
Yeah, no. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, UMass.
Does that mean?
UMass Kent State is the game. If you're a Duck fan, if you're having to write a book report, that's what you're watching.
Rust, who's your team? Like, if you lose a bet and I got to make you do a book report. Are you an Oregon Duck guy?
I'm a Duck guy, yeah.
You're a Duck guy.
I mean, because look, I went to Willamette and Portland State, so, you know.
You're a Duck. Well, Portland State plays football.
Yeah, yes, sure.
A brand of football.
I think I'm going to get really drunk on Saturday and watch Utah State Hawaii at 9. Why not, dude? 11:30 midnight, live football?
Yeah.
Sounds dope.
It's great.
Make some Mai Tais.
You going to go Mai Tai?
Yeah.
I didn't pencil you in for a Mai Tai guy.
Why not? Mai Tais are wonderful.
You don't. Your face does not scream Mai Tai. Nor anything tropical. And you did just allude to before the show how much you hate pineapple. So I just associate.
True, Mai Tais don't have pineapple.
I'm just saying. I just associate anything tropical you don't like.
That's not true. I love tropical.
Do you?
I just go make out with my friend Tito.
Mm.
my favorite fruit color and smell and fake fruit is orange.
Really?
I love orange.
That's not really tropical, though. I mean, it kind of, it's the weakest link to tropical.
See, me,
you just
for
call
my...
me the weakest
link. For me, my hangover cocktail, early morning cocktail, I'm not a Bloody Mary guy because tomato juice is disgusting.
Me too. Right there with you.
I'm a Madras guy, so some vodka and OJ and crayon.
Yeah, and I hate cranberry.
Yeah, see, when I think tropical, I think pineapple, I think mango, I think passion fruit. That's what I think. I certainly citrus is, you know, orange and lime, they're there, but they're like tropical adjacent.
Tropical adjacent.
Right? Am I wrong on this?
I don't think you're wrong.
I mean, I know Florida is like mildly tropical when you get down to like southern Florida and the Keys and stuff like that.
Oh, I don't
think
it's mildly tropical down there. I think it's pretty damn tropical.
But I mean, you're entering tropic zone.
Yeah.
For sure. But I think of like more, even more equatory. When I think tropics.
All right, well, when we come back, we'll get into a little more Oregon chatter up against Indiana. And I want to ask the question, does this team live and die by the man with the football? Dante Moore conversations next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't be crying, don't be sad, don't be scared. 105.1 The Fan here. That's Danny Morang. I'm Patrick Harris. We do this every single every day from 10 to 1.
That's such a great guitar riff.
Edward Van Halen. Yeah, that guy was good. He used to play with his back turned sometimes to the crowd.
How many times in his life do you think he actually ever got called Edward?
Not many. Not many. He is Eddie.
And his kid's Wolfgang?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that for a kick-ass name? Wolfgang Van Halen?
I mean, you were a comic book character,
right?
Eddie,
you kill vampires.
And your mom is Valerie Bertinelli.
Yeah.
Eddie Van Halen, in his early days, would play with his back to the crowd because he was afraid people were going to steal his techniques on guitar.
Well,
because he's kind of one of the.
To be fair,
one of the pioneers of the finger tap.
Yeah, I mean, him and Stevie Ray Vaughan are probably the most important guitarists over the last 100 years.
You're talking to me about Stevie Ray Vaughan, huh?
Brother, I played guitar for 20 years.
Guy had sausage hands, dude. The guy had the biggest hands in the world.
And it made it
his guitar
very easy.
His guitar
to
strings were the heaviest gauge possible, yep. And he tuned them a half step down. Yeah. Dude is an absolute legend.
And he's also the only guy that played with a dirty guitar.
Yeah.
He literally whittled holes in them because of his picking.
I would take a shot drinking with that guy.
Oh, are you kidding?
I would die, but yes. I'm taking a shot.
Yeah, I mean,
most of the time you see those dudes and you're like, nah, I don't want to do that. Stevie, I'm going to take Stevie.
I mean, anytime the algorithm.
Either Stevie. I'll party with Stevie Nicks, too. I'll go toe-to-toe with her.
Was just here.
Not afraid of that.
Just played at Moda.
Not afraid of that.
Right? But, I mean, anytime
right
the algorithm.
I thought you would take one more quick dump.
Yeah. Anytime the algorithm throws some Stevie or some Eddie, mm-hmm. you know, like concert clips or something like that, the raw stuff.
It's always fun.
I am tuned in.
We've been talking about Oregon, Indiana. We had Tyson Alger on in the first hour, and then Danny and I were kind of discussing this in the break, and I want to kind of elaborate more on that. It feels like with the way this Oregon team is, and I don't think Tyson said it necessarily, but in kind of thinking, you asked the question, how does Oregon lose this game against Indiana?
I know where you're going. I'm going to derail you a little bit because something
wonderful. I just started.
No.
I went into my rant.
It's
started.
I know. But this is going to feed into it. Here, bear with me.
I'm here.
This came up. It's going to tie into this.
Okay.
And I just had this thought, and it was going to be a squirrel moment. If I lost it, it was not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
The Oregon teams that we've seen under Dan Lanning.
Yes.
The teams that have beat them. What have they had offensively? It's quarterback one.
Dynamic quarterback.
But.
Wide receivers.
Yes. And I brought up the Surratt, Omar Cooper, Jr. wide receiver.
Because I'm thinking Rome Odunze.
Yep.
I'm thinking like
Polk
that.
And McMillan.
And Penix. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Indiana, according to PFF, is the only team in the nation with two top 10 wide receivers graded over on the season wide receivers.
Yeah, that's cool.
Omar Cooper Jr. is sixth. Elijah Surratt is eighth. That kind of ties into like the what you're gonna go into, and I just had that thought of like, you know, that Washington team that gave them so many problems
mm-hmm.
was because of that.
Yeah,
and it ties into what you're gonna say about Dante Moore.
Yeah, I'm curious if because you know as I've been kind of ranting and I
sorry
think you,
I just had,
no yeah. You're good. I think that's great because what it ties into is this team might live and die by Dante Moore mm-hmm. in the sense that I don't think Dante Moore has to win you the game.
No.
Like, you do not, this team is so balanced and well coached that you do not have to lean on Dante Moore to win the game. That is a great spot to be mm-hmm. in. However, I think Dante Moore could be the guy that could lose you a game.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him really rattled, nope. We haven't seen him turn the ball over.
The growth from UCLA till now is dramatic.
Yes. And I think some of that is sitting behind a vet in Dylan mm-hmm. Gabriel and coming to a lot more stable program at Oregon in comparison to UCLA, especially from a coaching standpoint. I'll take Will Stein over Chip Kelly any day, these days at least. And so that's what I'm kind of curious about. You know, you asked the question, how does Oregon lose this game? Oregon loses this game if Dante has two turnovers. That's me. I don't think he will. I was telling you in the break, I'm a lot higher on Dante Moore than you are. In fact, I even said I might be higher on Dante Moore than like Andy Johnson is.
And I'm not
like, I love Dante.
I'm not low on Dante.
I know you're not low.
To be clear, but like, that's the thing is like, you're really over the moon on him.
Yeah, I really like Dante Moore.
Dante has surprised me this year. He has had a couple throws this year. The one that stands out is the one to Malik Benson. It was just like, oh, that's an NFL throw.
Hi, bud.
Like that was that, like we saw Penix, to go back to the UW conversation and the wide receivers he had. He made throws to Odunze, Polk, and McMillan where you just went, okay, dog. Like
I know you already have a top 10 draft pick at Rome Odunze who's already running blistering routes at great speed, and you made that throw?
And you're dotting that up in the only place it can go to. Dante had has had a couple of those throws, but the Malik Benson one is the one that really stood out. But it's interesting what you said. You know, if Dante throws two picks against Indiana, they could lose. If Dante throws a pick against Penn State,
truth,
they could have lost.
Truth.
And I think that kind of goes to what you're saying in the sense of,
maybe that's not fair to Dante Moore.
It's not, but that was the margin of error in that game, right? Because if you give Penn State one more chance in that second half, let's say Dante throws, let's say just one, not even like a Drew Aller pick of like, what are you doing?
Right.
Let's say AJ Harris, who's maybe the best corner in college football,
my cousin,
says, yoink. And just drives on a ball and says, I got this. Heaven forbid it's a pick six.
Oh, if it's a pick six, Oregon's in big trouble.
Do you know what I mean? Like, their defense, when we had Tyson on, their defense does not have a hole. Their pass rush is great. Their linebacking core is great. Their secondary is great. There's nobody you're picking on. Mm-hmm. And if you're picking on them, it's like, well, it's because this guy isn't quite as great as this guy, right? When I look at Dante, I go, okay, who is the one that I want to put the game on and prove it? Not that he can't do it, but that he has one game. That's all he has. He has one game against good competition where he didn't have it run down his leg. Because if you go back and watch, again, this is 2 years ago at UCLA. When he was up against it, he peed down his leg.
Yeah, but I'm going to go back to this. I think a lot of that is coaching.
I 100% agree. And I think the growth in sitting behind Gabriel last year was enormous. And it shows real growth from him being willing to sit behind him.
And P1 Tyler points this out on the text line, talking about Mendoza being awesome. Let's not forget he was at Cal and wasn't very good at Cal. But I would argue that Cignetti is a better coach than Wilcox. And sometimes
offensively, Wilcox is a defense guy,
he's an offensive guy, and sometimes that is all the things in the world.
I mean, Wilcox is a defense guy as far as like what he builds out.
So for Dante, I mean, I think Mendoza and Dante are in the same path that route of leaving programs that didn't have the best opportunity for you to go somewhere else that is actually going to use you. Because Will Stein is a massive upgrade from Chip Kelly, massive upgrade in my opinion. And in a team that's got a lot more talent around you, like, look, let's not forget, like, I sometimes wonder, too, if it's easy to say, you know, Dante could be the reason they lost. And I think a lot of that has to do with and why I said I don't think that's fair is because the landscape of quarterback play in college football this year has been so mediocre that I think we're just expecting all of these quarterbacks to fail at some point because nobody has really dotted the I's and crossed the T's on a consistent basis. And like I said, we're now getting into the schedule where people are actually playing their second real team or even their third real team. Mm-hmm. For these two teams, it's only their second.
Yep.
But I think this game lives and goes with Dante Moore.
For Oregon. Yes.
Yep.
I agree.
I think the defense is too solid that even if Dante struggles a little bit, the defense could bail him out. But he could also send it in a different direction. I think it might not be fair just because I'm looking at Cade Klubnik and DJ Lagway and Drew Aller and Nussmeier and even the kids, Julian Sayin and Damon Williams, and thinking to myself, like, a lot of these guys aren't playing very well.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And here's the thing. If Dante goes out there and throws for 250 and three touchdowns and doesn't throw a pick again against good competition, then he has started to get the stamp.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he can't be him, but I'm saying he's not him yet. One game does not a guy make.
I agree. But I still think you can see stuff.
No. We agree there. We 100% agree there. Like, he, look, the touchdown throw to Gary Bryant Jr. in overtime.
Yes,
with DDS running down your throat.
Yes, please.
Yeah, baby. That's a play. That's a play, man. And when you needed it most. So can he build on that?
Mm-hmm.
Can he not take a step back from, and I'm not taking from that play. Can he not take a step back from that game? Can he be that guy again? And when you start building, that's what we do with all quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
is particularly in college, is that can you consistently hit that bar? And that to me is the question with Dante. Not that he can't, it's can he? Because we know Drew Aller can't. We know Drew Aller can't.
Cannot.
We know what Klubnik has shown. We know what Nussmeier has shown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like DJ Lagway, he's still early enough in his career. He has that bounce back game against Texas. He looked like a dude.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So it's like Dante has a very, 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 very big opportunity to at least hit the bar or clear it. But he also has an even larger opportunity to set the bar even higher.
All this being said, I expect Dante Moore to have a monster game, and I'll take Oregon covering the spread.
Oof.
That being said.
I'm not there yet. I'm gonna wait until Friday.
I really like
to know exactly where I land.
Yeah, you need a little bit of time. Let it marinate a little bit.
Because there's a part of me that wants Indiana to come in there and really upset the apple cart.
Well, there's not a part of you.
It's a large part of me.
There's 99%
of you. It's a large part of me.
I will take more in a statement victory.
Look,
in a cover spread,
it'd be fun because we haven't had anybody do that in the country yet.
And as this texter points out, and Moore will be 100% the Heisman favorite if that happens.
Oh, if he goes out there and does what you say, absolutely.
And I expect him to. All right, we come back. Let's talk some little more quarterback talk, but we'll slide over to the NFL. Look, dude, can the gap really be the size of the Grand Canyon? It might be, but I think there might be some cracks in other parts of that foundation. We'll go to Baltimore next, but first, the Kahuna with sports.
Hamburgers. Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mariners up 1-0. Josh Naylor hit a nice little double. Dom can zone, knocks him in. I got Schultze out there. He gave me a giant hug. Shout out, Schultze. I'm going to watch some of that game with him after this game's over.
Hey, they push when they get up next, top of the lineup.
That's true.
Top of the lineup.
So Mariners up 1-0. Keep you informed on that for the last half hour of the show. And then you'll get Schultze at 2. He'll keep you updated. You want to watch a Mariners show live? I'm going to tune into the happy hour just because a Mariner game is going to be live with Schultze on the air. That to me is something I want to check out. We'll finish up with closing arguments next. Some stuff to look forward to tomorrow. There's a cool article on The Athletic about some coaches' feelings on trips to London in the NFL that we'll get to. We'll continue to talk about Ducks leading into the Indiana game this weekend and some takeaways from Blazer preseason from tonight, and also 10 Toes Down comes back tomorrow as well. That's a fun interaction from you all, and hopefully we get some baseball updates. We're either still playing baseball or the LCSs are set. Everyone could be eliminated tonight. Everyone could stay alive tonight. Great little night of baseball. But we'll slide you over into the NFL, and one of the little leftovers that we have from the weekend that we haven't quite got to, we've mentioned it from time to time, especially with the Flacco going to the Bengals and interdivisional trades and stuff like that. And we continue to discuss and have you know, discourse about the great quarterbacks in the NFL and such. And the drop-off between Lamar Jackson and Cooper Rush is quite large from a talent standpoint. One could argue that drop-off is the size of the Grand Canyon. Okay? There is no way in my mind that you can tell me that this team is okay with Cooper Rush and not Lamar Jackson. That's how great Lamar is. That's how this team is built. However, I will be the guy to say it. Not having Lamar is a big deal, okay? But the last time I checked, Lamar Jackson doesn't play defense. Now, his offense is so good that it'll keep the defense off of the field, which is kind of like playing defense. Did I just convince myself that Lamar Jackson plays defense?
You might have talked yourself into it a little bit.
But you see what I mean there. And we are now in a situation where are we at the point that they're winning because of Lamar? Like, to more so of an extent than him just being an elite quarterback. Because I think if there's anything we know about John Harbaugh teams, if there's anything we've known about the Baltimore Ravens for the last 10, 15, 20 years, that is a stable, stable, stable franchise. More so, maybe more so than the Steelers, dare I say. But now Lamar goes out and people are dropping 40s on you. I think there's some real, I don't know, is it a McDonald thing? Is it because he's gone? Is that what it is?
This past week, I think you could say it was injuries. But we've noticed this now for basically 2 years, which the McDonald tie-in is certainly huge.
But because you can see his imprint on Seattle.
Yeah, you can. And like, it's really weird because you look at what they have personnel-wise when they've been healthy. And this story popped up for the Ravens last year, particularly in the first 8 weeks, 9 weeks of the season. It made no sense. They've got a premier pass rusher. They've got a premier linebacker. They've got premier DBs. Like, you should not be this. Like, Kyle Hamilton, Roquan Smith. Like, you should not be this bad.
Yeah.
And not even, like, you shouldn't be bad.
Mm-mm. And I yet, can understand dropping some games, close games. Houston's figuring it out. You know,
they're not 44 points figuring it out.
You love Houston's defense, and I think we're both D'Amico Ryan fans. You know, we like what's building there, but they've struggled on offense to start the season. But yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like the gap between Cooper Rush and Lamar Jackson is huge, but not 49 points on defense, huge. And I'm definitely not saying get rid of Harbaugh, but I think maybe despite the fact that the man has two MVPs and you can argue is the best quarterback in the NFL, I'm laughing as I'm going to say this out loud. Are we underestimating how good Lamar Jackson is? Are we taking for granted how good one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the NFL is? Because you take him away and this team's losing by 50. That's insane to me. That's insane to me. Because let's take Joe, for example, okay? Joe has a history of getting hurt. And for some reason, we all apologize for it and let him off the hook for it. However, when Joe is out, they're not losing like this every week.
I mean, they kind of are, though.
But they have a worse offensive line, a worse coaching staff, and a worse history and ownership. Yeah. Baltimore is a check, 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 check. We got a quarterback. We got a head coach. We got a front office. We got ownership. We got fans. Check, 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 check.
They hit all the boxes.
Yep. They just, like everybody in the AFC, has a Mahomes problem.
Sure. I think there's probably something to that.
Just don't get it.
It's like when they go sideways, they go really sideways. The Ravens.
And who's going to be held accountable for this? I'm not saying fired.
No.
But who's going to be held accountable for this? Where is the problem? Where is the crack in the foundation?
I mean, you start on defense because when Lamar is healthy, the offense is incredibly productive. But
incredibly,
when the defense has been healthy the last couple of years, which it has been, it hasn't up until recently. It hasn't been the Detroit Lions where you're like your entire secondary is gone, your best pass rusher and one of the best defensive front seven guys in the league, and Aiden Hutchinson, his leg turns to splinters. Like, you didn't lose all of that and still, you know, stitch together a defense like the Lions did. If one guy's out for the Ravens, or if hell, even when they were healthy, they still sucked. And yeah, it does not make any sense. So is it just the defensive coordinator? Does it fall to Harbaugh? Does it fall to personnel decisions? Like, I think you can probably spread it around, but Harbaugh also is stamped. He's done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
there's no question.
So, and that's why it's a weird spot to be, because he does get the benefit of the doubt. The organization gets the benefit of the doubt. They've gone through, what, two GMs in the last 15 years?
I mean, Andy Reid is probably the only more respected NFL coach outside of John Harbaugh. Maybe Pete?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
yeah.
Pete, but I mean, John's done this for a long time.
Tomlin,
yeah, but Tomlin, the cries are coming for Tomlin. They have for years.
Sure,
which
but
it's going to be hilarious when they win the division.
Yeah,
now.
It's so dumb, but yeah, it's a really weird thing, because we talk about like the Eagles and the Chiefs, the earning the benefit of the doubt. That's what you've gotten. If you're wondering what that uh-oh is.
I thought Torkelson took him deep, but he did not.
You thought so, because Harris is locked in on baseball right now. But the Ravens as an organization over the last 15 years, who's been better?
I don't know. That's why. I mean, the Chiefs, because they have three Super Bowls, but that's it.
It's a short, honestly, you brought up Andy Reid, and you went a different way from what I was thinking.
Mm.
This feels like Andy Reid in Philly.
Mm, the thing's kind of starting to fall off.
You're like,
you're great, you're but,
really
but what's
good,
wrong? But what's wrong?
The difference is that at that point in time, Reid hadn't done it, where Harbaugh has.
Yeah, I think McDermott is more Reid and Philly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. We vary on McDermott for sure, but okay. But I can't put my finger on it. It doesn't make sense. Like if you just looked at their defense on paper and you're like, they just don't have dudes. Like, Kyle Hamilton's one of the best DBs in the league. Roquan mm-hmm. Smith is one of the best linebackers in the league. Like, you have got dudes at every level. And yet, this.
Sure.
So you've got to point the finger somewhere. You're sure as hell not pointing it at Lamar.
No. And that's kind of what I was getting at. Yeah. That, like, I can't believe we're underestimating one of the top five greatest quarterbacks of all time, potentially, in Lamar Jackson. That's wild.
I don't know if I can put him top five.
Maybe not top five, but I mean, when we talk quarterbacks in this league now,
right today, now, oh yes, right now, 100%.
Today's world, yeah, yeah. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Closing arguments is next, and I want to circle back on this Dante Moore situation and NFL prospects. How he looks for that, Danny? I think you brought up something that was interesting that Mel Kiper disagrees with you. We'll get to that next. Yeah. In closing arguments, call it a day. 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Meringue is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
Which means it's time for the closing arguments. Brought to you by Leskin Law. One day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. Visit LeskinLaw.com for more information.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth.
105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, that'll do it for us, Mike.
See you later, Mike.
The conversation we were having earlier about the great Dante Moore, the quarterback, it's Oregon Ducks. Your Oregon Ducks, Danny. Oregon Ducks.
Mine.
I want to circle back on this, and I thought closing arguments would be a good spot for it. We were talking in the break. I am being told by my friends on the YouTube chat that Mel Kiper this morning has Dante Moore as the number one quarterback on his board for the NFL. So I'm curious, because in the break, Danny, you said you didn't think that was true. However, you did say that he is an NFL-style quarterback. If he looks this good in college, playing for a high-level squad like the Oregon Ducks,
I got to stop you right now.
Okay.
He's played one game, dog!
I know.
One!
I know. This is a what-if. But if he continues...
If he keeps going, great. He has played one game.
Well, then you tell me who the number one quarterback on the board is.
Spin the chamber right now.
But that's what,
because
I mean,
it's sure as hell not Drouelle.
Right.
It's not Nussmeier.
But that's why
it's not Klubnik. Like,
and that's why I'm saying it
Sellers.
Could,
I don't know. Like,
it could be Dante Moore.
Could be Fernando Mendoza for all we know. That's sure. The thing is, like, saying that Dante Moore is number one with the bullet right now is just bonkers. It's bonkers.
I don't think it's that bonkers.
It's bonkers.
I think we've seen the throws that he can make, the poise he had in Penn State. I like it.
Sure.
I like
it. Go draft a quarterback off one game. Go for it. That's how you get Mitch Trubisky. Go enjoy it.
Well, that's how you get Jamarcus Russell. Yeah.
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 Yeah, it happens.
Cool. And this isn't like anti-Dante Moore. It's anti- any quarterback.
Yeah, and
I'm not out here gassing up Cade Klubnik.
No, I know, but I think a lot of that, again, this is why I wanted to bring it up again. I think a lot of that has to do with how mediocre quarterback play has been all over the league.
Yes.
Which is all over the league. I'm already calling it the league.
I mean,
the league. How bad quarterback play has been all over college football.
I don't think it's been bad. I just don't think anyone is.
I meant mediocre.
Okay. But even mediocre, I just don't think anybody. The bar of quarterback play from now to 10 years ago is higher.
True.
But also the greatness has been so much greater than from basically anyone we've seen this year.
But also he's only played one game, but he's looked good in all four games that he's played.
But who has he played?
Like, you love Darian Mensah. Who's he played? Yeah. Who's he played?
Their schedule's been tougher than Oregon's.
He doesn't have Penn State win on the road on his resume.
No, he doesn't. But if you're asking
He lost to the team he transferred from.
It's true.
See, that looks worse. So even though it is only one big game for Dante, he's looked excellent in all four games.
I've also seen Darian Mensah at Tulane last year.
Sure.
But that, again, I'm not sitting here out here screaming that Darian Mensah is going to be the number one quarterback in the draft.
I also saw Mendoza at Cal.
Exactly. So that same point, we saw Dante Moore at UCLA.
Right, but the difference between Dante Moore and all these other guys is he sat out a year behind a fifth-year starter in a stable program with real coordinators and real head coaches.
Sure, but we've seen one game. One. Let's let him play out his tape.
I think I'm arguing I've seen four.
I can't.
Even against bad teams in the Oregon States and the Montana States and Oklahoma States, look, dude, take care of business against those you're supposed to take care of. And I think Dante did that. Northwestern, five games.
I'm not there. I'm not there with any. Carson Beck, I've made this case for Miami endlessly as far as them being the best team in the country. He has played more games in his career, and Dante is a better prospect than Carson Beck.
Without a doubt.
By a lot.
Beck is not an NFL quarterback.
Well, he's going to be drafted.
Sure, but he's not an NFL
quarterback. Yeah, he's not.
He'd be lucky to be a Jake Brown.
Yeah, I am not.
Chase Daniel.
Yeah, I'm not hitching my wagon to that gear.
No. Not to the Vampire.
Do I think that Dante Moore could end up being that guy? That door is wide open. 100%. But the idea that he's there? No, not for me. Hmm. No, but to be fair, nobody is there for me. Like, I'm a Raiders fan. Right now, you're saying you have to take a quarterback. I'm going, no, I don't. Give me the best wide receiver in the country. Like, you know what I mean? That's where I am.
And I think where I live is that if there is a gun to my head and I am a Raider fan or a Jets fan and I need a quarterback, I think there's leaps and bounds a lot worse you can do than Dante Moore. And I'm not talking about, take the quarterback from,
I think that can get you fired.
But I think Dante Moore sits at the top. It sits higher on that list than almost everyone else does. I think there's NFL GMs that say, if I had to take Dante Moore right now, after, to your point, only one game, I think there's some NFL GMs that say, I'll take that chance.
I think you're out of desperation. Not because he's not good.
Sure, because you want the whole sample. I agree with that. I agree with that.
And that's the thing of, like, Dante Moore's number one right now. It's like, there are years.
I think he's number one right now.
There are years, Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer, like the Heisman caliber, Baker Mayfield, like
Trevor Lawrence,
where you're like, yep, that, now whether or not it works out, but there are years where five, six games into a season, you're like, yeah, that's done.
I'll push back a little bit on some of that. I think the Baker Mayfields and the Kyler Murrays of the world, they were going to go number one. I knew they were going to go number one, but they weren't that. I've only seen two that in my entire life in college football.
Oh, I think that.
I only saw that with Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence.
I think there's.
And I might be wrong on Lawrence.
I mean, I think you saw it with Caleb Williams.
No, not me. I love Caleb Williams. I think he was great, but I didn't see that.
And that isn't me just as USC guy. That's like mock drafts and everybody. Nah. Everybody knew going into that season he was that.
No, the only two guys I've ever seen that were that. Okay, maybe three. But I'm a little young for it. Number three would be Peyton Manning.
But even in that class.
Manning, Luck, and Lawrence.
But that class, Leif Manning. Like, it was like, but you.
Yeah, I don't know. We at Wazoo kind of knew what Peyton Manning was compared to.
But you understand what I'm saying. Like,
I do.
There are, almost every year, there's a quarterback or two where you're like, yeah, I can. Like, this last draft we just had, it was like, well, okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, college football's just in a weird spot right now.
The big one 2 years ago, I might argue that Bo Nix is the best quarterback taken off that board.
But nobody had him there is that guy.
That's true. That is Closing Arguments, brought to you by Leskin Law. Visit leskinlaw.com for more information. Leskin Law's one-day divorce mediation. Peace treaties, not war plans. That'll do it for us. We'll catch you tomorrow. Thanks for hanging with us. For Danny Morang, that's Jeff Frost and Casey in the background.
Hey.
I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
Bye.
Might as well go win the whole f***ing thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.